Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and look to your heart. These streets, Belmont and Webster Avenue, can really hurt someone. But in a world like this, the choices we make, like giving back the money, are out of your head. Ain't it the truth? Joining us today are the usual Nicky Machiavellis, who like it, including Kevin Rollem Jager.
Yes, bro.
Kimberly, our one of the great ones, game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Ew.
and with us today is someone you may have seen on Broadway in A Bronx Tale, or have seen or potentially will be seeing in Company. His album Along the Way is now available wherever you get music. Let's give a big Broadwasted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Bobby Connie Thorne.
You all ready?
All ready for this?
No.
Welcome.
That was the best introduction ever. I can't believe you got in all of those titles. That was amazing.
And like, I was proud this time because like sometimes they don't make sense. Like this tracked a little bit.
Yeah, I understand that one.
I was waiting for you to just say reprise at some point.
Oh, so my new thing is to cut reprises out. So my new thing is to just use the initial song title. So that makes more sense.
You decided this 4 years in?
4 years in, I decided to drop the reprises.
More you know.
Yeah. Well, thanks for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Well, before we get started to dig into anything, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a nice hot toddy with lemon ginger tea and some Bullet bourbon.
Oh, Bullet's my favorite.
You're doing it right.
Bourbon's the way to go. What are you guys drinking?
Oh, I am drinking an Angry Orchard hard cider because it was on sale.
That's new for you.
Yeah, you're not usually a cider gentleman.
No, it was on sale. They were like, it's $5 for a 6-pack, and I was like, yeah.
Whoa, what's the expiration on those, buddy?
No, they're fine. It was just they had too many. I think they just ordered like a lot of alcohol and then realized no one's drinking cider right now.
Sure.
No, we want the hard stuff.
I took one for the team and I got.
Wow.
I was buying
We're
white
so grateful.
Claws. I was buying white claw. I might as well buy cider and be that girl. Like
good segue. I'm drinking raspberry white claw.
Yes.
Jesus.
Wait. So I'm working my way through the Josh collection of wines.
I love those.
Didn't know that Josh made rosé. And so that's what I have for us.
That's nice.
I love it.
Well, cheers.
We're the host of a drinking show, and we're all drinking like the trashiest of drinks.
You're the most basic stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
The This rosé is over $10.
This does not usually happen, just so you know, but I just realized, like, our guest has a very classy, like, nice drink, and we're like, oh, I'm drinking Bud Light.
Well, cheers.
Cheers.
We'll see how this goes, and I got some White Claws in the fridge I can pull out.
There we go.
My print is there.
So let's just, we usually ask our guests this. What's your favorite musical?
Oh, that's like the hardest question ever.
I know.
For a long time, I would say, and I'm not kidding, it was Company. Company was the first Sondheim show I ever saw as a kid.
Sure.
And it, hopefully I'm not, it's not out of egotism that the show begins by people singing in a cappella my name over and over and over. Hopefully it's not for that reason. But then, I don't know. I think the Gypsy is the most perfectly written show.
Mm-hmm.
Company is what I naturally was drawn to as a kid, very oddly, even though it's about a show about a person with a fear of commitment.
Sure.
Those
are great answers.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with those two.
Did it get confusing in rehearsal? I just have to jump to this since we were talking about your name.
Yeah.
Did it get confusing when they would say, like, Bobby, meaning the character, but you
That's
thought
right.
you? Did that happen a lot?
Oh, just endless. Just endless. So it just had to become Bobby Conti or BCT or just saying my character's name PJ. So we slowly started to figure it out.
Sure. Let's dive into Company. Kevin and I were
You saw it?
I was in open dress.
Brian and I
oh my goodness.
Brian and I had tickets for March 12th. So like the night Broadway shut down, we like had tickets to go.
I will say, it was a relief in a way that
we didn't
have to make the choice, that the choice was made for us. Because like,
totally.
That was kind of, because all day long we were texting.
Oh,
like,
that's true.
What are we going to do? Do we go? Because we want to support the arts. We want to see this. But also like, we're not stupid.
Of course.
Yeah. So
that's right.
So thankfully the American Theater would make the decision.
But yeah, that was like our first disappointment of this whole event was like, we literally had tickets that night that Broadway closed down.
It's devastating.
But
you all, Kimberly,
oh no,
you saw it at a very hysterical age. I still had a guitar probably when you saw it.
Yes.
It fell down. That's right. And so we played, it happened again and I played into it more and then it got cut.
I was wondering if you were going to play the guitar. which is why when it fell, I was like, oh, it's because he needs to play it. Like, he has the guitar with him. And then I was like, no.
How wonderful is that? I think perhaps the reason why we cut it is because, I, Bobby, don't play the guitar. But I think we were sort of grasping at straws of making sure the audience understood who this new take on the character of previously Marta was.
Yeah.
And so for a long time I was smoking cigarettes, I had a guitar case, I had lots of sort of props to try to help indicate who I was. And I think slowly but surely we learned that the George Firth's book, Stephen Sondheim's lyrics, and hopefully some educated interpretation that I'm doing, that's only because of the collaboration I have with Marianne, our director, and Gina, our associate director, that can sort of take care of itself and we don't need to amplify more. And as an insecurity for the audience to understand who I am, the audience will naturally glean who it is.
Yeah, I don't think it was necessary that like your character was like had a guitar.
I mean,
unless you can't play it. But I will say it was a beautiful and like perfect interpretation of the show. And I was so excited to go back and see it again.
I will knock on wood. We will be back.
I know.
we're very excited for it. I think I saw you perform at the Guggenheim.
Yeah.
Yeah. You sang, did you sing the song at?
We did some very fancy event at the Guggenheim where I think Katrina sang Someone Is Waiting.
Yep.
Patty sang Little Things You Do Together. And I sang Another 100 People. And then the three boyfriends, we all sang Drivers and Crazy while Marianne and Patty and Katrina got interviewed. And I think it was our first moment going, oh, we're doing Company on Broadway for Stephen Sondheim's 90th birthday. This is a big deal. Don't fuck it up. So yeah, that was definitely a big fancy moment.
Yeah, you were great. That was a great performance.
What did you do to kind of, you kind of talked about how, conveying to the audience who this character was, because they may have preconceived notions of who these characters are from previous versions of it. What did you do as an actor to, an actor prepares, but like, what did you do for this to kind of like the characters are written in the script, in the book, as female, obviously interpreted differently for this one. What did you do to kind of make it your own?
Right. I think a great thing that we were asked to do constantly by Marianne was to, as cliche as this sounds, bring ourselves to it. What naturally makes us odd and eccentric is what's going to make these characters stand out. And our only responsibility at the end of the day is to the script. And so what's been nice is that anytime something didn't land in the way that we think was appropriate, we could go back to the original George Firth vignettes that were written in the 1970s before it was adapted into a musical. We could go back to other George Firth plays that were in his catalog that we had total permission to. So any rewritten lines were taken all from his vernacular. Sure. And, I not only am I a man now saying these absurdly ridiculous things, but I'm also a white man doing it. And so there was, in the original script, Marta sort of condemns Bobby slightly by asking him, how many Puerto Ricans do you know? How many blacks? And is questioning his ability to have a diverse background, and then says, please, I know all of these people. They're all my closest, my best friends. And coming out of the mouth of perhaps this person was not going to land in a way that we wanted to in 2020. So we could go back to old George Firth vignettes, and we found this great bit where he was, the character who was previously named Peter in this little vignette was sitting down on a couch with a friend of his and was saying, we're really going to relate now. We're really going to connect. And they almost started meditating. So we made that part of the scene, that we made him more of a Brooklyn hipster musician, semi-woke guru who wants to think he's connected to this millennial progressive world, but naturally is going to come off as a bit of a mansplainer, depending on who you ask. And sure, we definitely had some pop culture references we could point to find that in a somewhat realistic way, that you want these things to come out of someone's mouth, not in a malicious way, but something as a naive way, so that he means everything he says earnestly, so that an audience can then laugh at it without feeling too imposed by it. And that's all just a testament to the collaborative nature of the room Marianne sets up, so that it was a very freeing space where failure was necessary and there was no judgment, so we could come to the right idea through the best idea wins.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome.
Let's take a mini travel back in time. So you like were just out of school, and like you kind of everything moved very quickly in terms of what an average kind of like starring on Broadway timeline is. For
right.
You in your Broadway debut essentially in A Bronx Tale. I guess talk about that updraft, that like almost like quick learning experience of all of a sudden like out of school, obviously working, and then all of a sudden like boom, here you are, in
a great show.
Yeah, in a well received, for that season, a long running show.
Yeah, it definitely lasted a couple of years. It lasted beyond me, which is
right.
I think the success of anything is saying I'm not the detriment to an incident. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
The thing I always go back to is that's an opportunity that's so rooted in luck and given circumstances being so beyond my control that happened to land in my favor, that I hopefully met with some semblance of preparedness and strong work ethic. That I could graduate out of school and they needed an Italian who looked 17, who could sing doo-wop, that fit into this sort of vernacular and didn't have to be famous, is so beyond lucky. Mm. And that then I had to, when I was allowed to have my foot in the door, go in and take it unapologetically. And that when this was going out of town to Paper Mill, I didn't get the job. And I was devastated and heartbroken. And I couldn't really process it and be able to, like we have to do with many jobs, sort of fall in love very quickly, do the thing. If it doesn't go your way, let it go quickly and move on to the next. And I wasn't having a proper ability to do that quickly. And so luckily when 4 or 5 months went by and they said, we're moving it to Broadway and we're reopening the role, it was such, that was just another stroke of luck, but it was also because I hadn't really let go of the role in my mind. Whenever it was popping up in my head, I would rework on it for my own self, never with any semblance that I would ever get to perform it again for the higher ups and people who were making those decisions, but just because I knew I had something more to find in myself in the material before I could move on and give myself over to other material more fully. So it was just, there was a lot of luck involved that I'm eternally grateful for. And then the process of doing it was a great lesson in sitting in these rooms of giants and people that I had idolized as children for so long. Alan Menken, who had written the soundtrack to many of our childhood, I'm sure you all would agree.
Yeah.
To Chaz, who's, you know, I had seen Bronx Till at 10 years old. And how could you, that it's one of the most perfect movies of its genre. Robert De Niro, who is, especially in terms of that genre, there is no one who would know this world better and is one of the greatest living actors that we have, perhaps even of all time. And you have to sit there and suddenly not be in awe, but be a colleague and be able to level with them and collaborate with them, and knowing how to maneuver around your own sense of insecurity, your own sense of ego, everyone's sense of ego and insecurity, to come to a fuller, more cohesive idea of what we all want to do. It was a very invaluable lesson to have at 24 years old.
Sure, absolutely. You know what? Let's play a game.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's play a game.
Kevin, do you have your Lights of Broadway show cards at your hand?
I do.
I do not. Oh, great.
I have.
Me and Kevin do. And so we really like to play games with our Lights of Broadway show cards, but it has been tricky because I can't ask you to draw a card over Zoom. But now that Kevin has some too, we can draw cards for other people.
Correct.
If right. I think how I'm doing this and utilize the private chat function of Zoom, which I have learned is integral to gameplay virtually.
Great.
I gotta get scissors. Hold on.
Cool. Can you hear me if I explain the rules while, oh, you're using your fancy chair?
Yeah, I'm using my fancy rocking chair. I'm not kidding. My parents
bought fancy.
My parents sent me a rocking chair to cheer me up, and I was like, "What am I, 80?" And then I put it on my balcony, and I was like, "I'm never leaving." And I'm like,
I am 80.
Outside, I was like, "This is the greatest thing they've literally ever given me."
Okay, this is a game called Phone Rings, Door Chimes.
Okay,
great.
And basically, we're gonna make up knock knock jokes. To get people to guess who you've drawn from your card.
Okay.
So instead of saying knock, knock, who's there, you'll say phone rings, we'll say who's there, and then you will say something to try and get us to guess which card you have drawn.
But without saying their name.
Exactly. It's like Taboo, but I added a fun preface.
Phone rings.
Yeah.
All right.
Brian, I'll choose a card for you first.
Okay, sure.
I trust you to start with puns.
Sounds good.
Great.
And you're gonna private message me in is my
no. Mind. You're gonna read my eyes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
totally.
You've been doing this for 4 years. Can't you not get the idea? Just from
I probably should.
Open up your psyche, bro.
Yeah. Sorry. All right, I'm prepared. I'm ready. Okay. This is a lot harder than you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
All right.
It can also just be a funny thing. It doesn't need to be
I'm going to, I know. Phone rings.
Who's there?
Gimme. Sutton Foster.
Close.
Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Yes.
Nice.
Thoroughly Modern Millie.
So you can only say one word is the point.
No, I could have done, I guess I could have also done phone rings, who's there, not for the life of me. I don't know.
Right. I like it. Let's make it vague. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Do you want to draw a card for yourself?
I got one. I'm ready.
Okay.
Phone rings.
Who's there?
In comes tuberculosis.
Moulin Rouge.
Les Mis?
No, Moulin Rouge.
Moulin Rouge.
No, I
the
just
character of Mulan.
Karen Oliva.
Oh, Karen.
There it is, Karen.
I was like so confident. I got Moulin Rouge.
And I, for some reason, thought I was playing charades, so I felt like I couldn't say words. I got nervous.
Oh my goodness! All right, Bobby, can I send you one?
Yes.
All right, this is fun.
I'm grabbing another round. Does anyone need one?
Yeah, can you grab me one, Kevin?
Kevin, what is on your television set?
Yeah, that went from fireplace to something else very different.
It just keeps going to commercials.
Oh.
The fireplace has commercials?
I'm watching it on YouTube because it's 8 hours.
Okay. I'll go around Brian's route and just do a vague term.
Cool.
Phone rings.
Who's there? Who's
there?
Mischief! Mischief! Mischief!
Okay, it's the beggar woman, but who could it be that was the beggar woman?
Oh, Laura Tom.
Oh, it's not what? Not the person, but
oh, Sweeney Todd.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, great. I was okay. Who was, in the movie was Laura Michelle Thompson. Who?
Was Laura that? Michelle Kelly.
Kelly, yeah, Kelly, yeah.
I grew up because I'm from San Francisco, so I saw when Patti LuPone and George Hearn did it at the San Francisco Opera with Victoria Clark as the beggar woman.
Wow.
And she was amazing.
Oh wow.
So
all right. Okay, Kimberly, I have one. Turn.
Phone rings.
Who's there?
Who's there?
Who's there?
A sexy mouse.
Mean Girls.
But
Kate Rockwell.
Yeah.
Oh, good. A sexy mouse. Yeah, that was fun. Let's do another round.
Cool. Same sexy order.
Yeah,
Kevin, sure. Why don't you choose one for Brian?
Okay.
I'll choose them.
No, I'll do it. I'm looking at my cards.
Okay.
I got a good one.
Okay, cool.
Right.
Just because I like to guess.
Make sure you send it to just me.
I think I'm doing that.
We'll all soon learn.
Yeah. He did. Okay.
Okay.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Who's
wrong.
There?
Oh, you're
yeah,
wrong.
Not.
Sorry.
I made a company themed.
I went along. Sorry. What am I doing?
Phone rings.
Who's there?
Who's there?
Shouldn't it be door chimes? Sorry.
I guess you can say that.
Like, we should be responding door chimes?
Yeah.
Let's say, should it be
and
like...
Door comes.
Door yeah, it's great. I love it. I love
oh,
it.
That, yeah, let's do that. Okay, I'll start again.
Okay.
Phone rings.
Door chimes.
Door chimes.
In comes someday.
Groundhog Day.
No.
West Side Story?
That's one day. That's one day.
Not West Side Story.
You got to think further back than Groundhog Day.
You don't have to help me.
I was thinking, I thought one day. That's my bad.
Someday. Someday. When it's me?
Maybe.
Was the wedding singer?
Maybe.
Laura Benanti?
Nailed it.
She sings a song called Someday?
In The Wedding Singer.
It's a bop.
Wow.
It's a bop. It's my favorite.
I need to get into the wedding. I think the only song I know from that show is, oh, and it's your wedding
day. I think Someday's the second or third song.
Yeah,
it's her.
Oh, great.
It's like
I literally have not gone past the first. So I wouldn't know.
It's a good one. The first like couple, I mean, I love that
it's
album.
Her I Want song. It's great.
Yeah, and she sounds
great.
Incredible. Cool.
Amazing.
All right. That was fun. All
right. Kevin, your turn.
Oh, okay. My turn. Okay.
All right.
Phone rings.
Door chimes.
In comes Sonny.
Say that one more time.
I said, in comes Sonny.
Oh, the Cher show?
Yes.
Wait, I love how my first reaction was Grease.
That's right.
That's because my Cher sounds just like a generic Rizzo more than an actual Cher.
Rizzo must be your spirit animal.
Rizzo the rat.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
You love Rizzo the rat.
Well, now I want the Muppets to do Grease on Tony night. If they're going to make us watch Grease, let the
that'd
Muppets
be great.
And
oh, yeah.
Rizzo the rat play Rizzo. And let him sing There Are Worse Things I Could Do. That would be like the greatest thing ever.
Well, Piggy.
Miss Piggy isn't Rizzo.
No, Miss Piggy's going to be Sandy.
She has to be Sandy.
I guess she has to, because Kermit would be Danny, right?
Oh, Sandy, baby.
And Fozzie would have to be Kinnicky.
But Fozzie would be Kinnicky. Sure. No, you make Gonzo Kinnicky.
Yes.
You make Fozzie the moon bear.
Yeah. Because, right. Well, if we're doing the movie, would that be doing the stage play? Because mooning isn't in the movie.
Right, but they would throw it into this part so that Fozzie could do a mooning joke. Like,
understood.
Yeah,
I love this. Who's Eugene? Scooter?
Yeah.
No, or it's just Beaker, and every time he tries to talk,
it's Beaker.
It's so good.
I'm like actually obsessed with this idea, because like Sam the Eagle could be like the principal. Like,
well, now you're making all the female roles male roles, so
you are doing that.
We have to
find that back. Is Vince Fontaine the human celebrity that they bring in?
Yes, yeah. And then Johnny Casino is actually Electric Mayhem, Dr. Teeth and Electric Mayhem.
Yes,
this is great.
This is wonderful.
I still remember there's other
CBS, hit us up.
We got you.
It's great, we did it. Okay, Bobby, I have one for you.
Okay, great.
Nice top knot, sir.
Oh, thank you. It's growing out slowly but surely.
I can do one too, but it just looks like Pebbles Flintstone.
Very silly.
What is a good... Okay. Phone rings.
Door chimes.
Door chimes.
In comes Yop.
Susical.
Great.
Wow.
Well done.
Something.
I love well Susical.
We were jamming out the other night, me and my sister, to Notice Me Horton.
Oh, so good.
What a good song.
That's a really good cast album.
Yeah, it's a really
unbelievable.
Good album. Yeah.
It's true.
I'm a thinker, and I think things.
Such a good show. So what's your
whole I played JoJo when I was 13 years old.
Did you?
Oh, really? Nice.
Oh, totally. Definitely.
That's amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
I love that show. That's such a good... That show's really good, and actually the touring version, like the short, the edited down version, is really good, too.
Is that the same that's licensed for high schools and community theaters?
That would be my assumption, yes.
For sure.
Where they cut the military section?
Yeah, no. Well,
where he goes off to war?
Some of that, they keep some of that, but they cut like having a hunch and like him getting like lost and that stuff. And they cut, yes. And then they also cut That's a Day of the Cat in the Hat.
That is a day for the kid.
Yeah, they cut that kind of stuff, and they just kind of like, they keep it as streamlined as possible with those storylines and stuff like that. But anyway, we digress. Kimberly.
Brian really likes Susical.
I feel like this is what this podcast is. It's just digressing on other musical
things. We did Susical freshman year of college, so I have a very warm place for it.
Who did you play?
I was in the ensemble, but I covered everybody, so I got my swing wings.
Nice. Yeah.
Swing wings, that's cute. I like that.
That's good, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I have one more, and then we can be done with the game.
Cool.
What does it start? Phone rings.
Door chimes.
In comes a dream.
Gypsy?
Yeah.
Oh, that was great. Good. That was a very good, with one word.
Because you're hearing the 1-5, you're missing the 1-4.
Yeah.
I had a dream.
So true.
Well,
that's awesome. Well, good game.
That was great.
Thank you.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So let's talk a little bit about your album. We spoke a little bit about other albums. Let's talk about yours. So it is called Along the Way. I'd love for you to kind of...
Just to clarify for our listeners, is that way like W-A-Y or way like W-E-I-G-H?
W-A-Y. Along the way. Along thanks, the Kevin. Way. Oh, my God.
I know it was going to be W-H-E-Y. Or,
well, that's W-E-Y. Totally right.
Yeah.
Along the way.
Yeah, with protein, like, or if it came with a baking book. Like, I don't know.
That would be a great, when we do the parody album, that's exactly what it'll be.
The Weird Al album. The Weird album. I guess what was your intention behind it, and what do you want people to walk away with?
I mean, the intention behind it is the same intention as the show it's based off, is to tell a narrative through line story. And so it's been nice to get feedback from people, first of all, that were close friends, but now from the general public that yes, there are bops and arrangements that we're doing of songs that are really surprising people, but that hopefully it's structured in a way that you can glean a semblance of what this not so fictional person is going through.
Sure.
And I would just hope people take away the idea that, especially if it's a lot of young people that are listening to this, because this is a story purposefully about a person who maybe at the beginning is just right out of college and beginning his journey, and it is now. I'll turn 28 this summer, is that in the best way possible, you know nothing. So that all of the feelings you have when you're going through these genuine heartbreaks and failures are valid, but know that it is truly only the beginning, and that you are better off in the long term for having gone through these things fully and having grieved them fully, to be able to then progress on to another place. Because if you hadn't gone through them, A, life would be very boring, but B, you'll actually then be more set up to lead a more fully fledged adult life and be present with another human being, to get out of your own head, realize the world does not revolve around you, and to be in service of other people.
Do you have favorite tracks that like really hit home for you?
Along the Way is a very specific moment I can recount with a woman who, if I felt I was in a position to have children, I would want to have children with said person. But to be hit with the reality of that I am in no way prepared to bring a child into this world and be in service of something beyond myself. I think How Deep Is the Ocean by Irving Berlin is the most perfect love song ever written. And the way James reorchestrated that for a string quartet was a labor of love to figure out. And we're so happy with how it came out at the end. And Vienna was sort of a last minute addition, because in the show, the finale is That's Life. And he made a great point of saying, you cannot end an album that a 27-year-old sings with the lyric, I'm going to roll myself up in a big ball and die if nothing's shaken come July. Even if that's very real, especially now in the time of COVID. Mm-hmm. So that seemed like a very self-aware way to end the album, going, slow down. If you're so smart, why are you so afraid? And what's nice is Billy Joel also wrote that song when he was 28 years old. So he was going through a similar sort of thing at this time in his life.
So you seem, the album is very confident in a, regardless of the feelings or emotions and the journey and the arc of the character, the album itself feels very confident. What was the selection process like, the curation process of the songs and the order? Because they feel like a puzzle that has been finished in terms of what that album's supposed to be. When you listen to a lot of these types of individuals' albums, and they feel disjointed, whether they're based on a cabaret or a mini show or a show versus, you know, just being, you know, like songs I really like and my voice sounds
good. Yeah.
Like, what did you go through in the curation process for both the show and then translating it to an album?
I think in the beginning, clumsily, it was that. It was going, oh, what songs do I like to sing? And let's make sure there aren't too many ballads before we have an up tempo to keep the energy up. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of the base level you need to start at, especially in a live setting. But then you can actually start to, what I had to do is I had to track it. I was saying, okay, how are we beginning the story? And Blame It On My Youth, we realized quickly on, seemed like a nice, almost prologue or thesis statement to preface everything beforehand. It was saying, I know I am very young and probably have very little to say that you, that people my senior probably don't know already. So let me start off, not with an apology, but saying, you know, when I'm naive and I'm talking about love that's broken my heart, please blame on my youth. Don't blame it on my own ignorance. And then you launch from there. And so this very specific moment I talked about with Along the Way seemed like a nice place to start off. And so what is the response to that? Well, a response to realizing that love needs to end, even though you're still deeply connected, is it becomes a waiting game. The only way to grieve something properly is through time. So time heals everything but loving you, is that this person is always going to hold a very deep place in my heart, even today, even as years and years have gone by. And I think that was a perfect lyric to go into it. And then you shift out of it. I'm not going to go through the whole album because I'll probably just bore you all. But Everybody Says Don't seems like then a nice response to that of saying, okay, mm-hmm. I've tried this very conventional way of structuring a love life. Why don't I break out of it? Because everyone keeps telling me you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this to find a conventional happy relationship. And maybe the world is a lot larger than that. And especially being in the musical theater world around artists, there is no right way to sort of do anything. Even if you're in as a job as an actor and in interpreting text, or whether you're trying to find someone you connect with and want to spend your life with. Sure. And naturally then Me and Mrs. Jones comes from that of trying to defy convention, defy expectation. And that is a very particular moment in my life as well that I experienced. And so every song then answers the song before it. And hopefully that is also charted on a base level of making sure, again, you're not musically doing the same thing over and over with each track or falling into the same patterns. But everything needs to be a response to the next.
Well, I actually, my favorite song is actually the bonus track that you can only find in Tuesdays in the Corner with Kevin.
It's Kevin's Corner.
That was a nice one. I appreciated that. He was like, where is he going with this? Okay. All right. So welcome to Kevin's Corner, where we're going to do a fun little would you rather, like this or that segment, where I'll just give you two things and you just have to pick one or the other and explain why you picked that thing.
Okay.
And so we'll just go through these and just, they're random and we'll see. Okay. Pop music or rock music?
Rock music.
Why?
Pop music, more times than not, has terrible lyrics, I found.
Yeah.
That's 100% true. I appreciate that. Stuffed animals or dolls?
Stuffed animals.
What was your favorite stuffed animal growing up?
What are they called? It starts with a T. Not Teletubbies, but it's
Tamagotchi?
That's not a stuffed animal.
I know.
It's little animals that were small and stuffed. That
started Beanie Babies?
T.Y. Beanie Babies?
I think it's T.Y. Beanie Babies, perhaps. And I had one that was of a little jaguar.
Oh, sure.
That I had growing up. Yeah, man, I have not thought about that in a good 20 years.
Hot chocolate or coffee?
Hot chocolate.
Are you a coffee drinker at all?
I don't drink coffee. I'm very lucky to stay away from caffeine, so I drink a lot of tea.
We don't either.
Me and Brian don't either.
Let's go, baby.
Really, do you?
Yeah, are you kidding?
Yeah, you drink coffee.
Because, like, I drink all the coffee.
Library or a museum?
Museum.
Mm. Why?
I mean, I guess you have to be quiet in a museum, too. Museum is endlessly expansive. Every time you get bored of one thing, there's something else to go learn, which is, I guess, the same as a library, but museum perhaps is more visual.
Oh, do you have a favorite museum?
Sorry. I imagine, too, a library could exist within a museum.
Oh, yeah.
Or could there be, a museum with a library.
Museum?
Say that again.
Like a library museum? Like a museum of famous libraries would just be small library exhibits?
You know what? Let's make it happen, Kevin. let's call up the Guggenheim, and that can be their next exhibit. There you go.
Brian said, "Do you have a favorite museum?"
Me? Oh, I think the Guggenheim is right up there.
The Guggenheim's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Hamburgers or hot dogs?
Hamburgers.
Mm. Are you not a hot dog person, or like you would just choose the hamburger option?
It's too hard now living in New York. You equate hot dogs with hot dog stands, which would be too terrifying to go investigate. So I guess the only time I have hot dogs are when I go to a baseball game or something like that.
Sure.
I think hamburgers are more regularly in my life.
My my senior year trip from high school in Florida was to New York City. It was my first time here. And so I had a list of all the New York things I wanted to do. So I was sure I was like the worst person for all the regular New Yorkers. Because like I got in a cab and I said, follow that car and step on it.
No, you did.
And he was like, what car? Which one? That one? Where are we going? And I was like, no, it was just a thing. And so one of my things is I wanted to go to a hot dog cart and say that I wanted the usual.
Ugh.
Yeah, I was the worst. So like,
what does that even mean? What does that even mean?
Kevin, you don't need to use the worst in past tense.
Shut up. No, because I saw it in movies that people would go up to their hot dog cart in New York City and say, I want the usual, and they would just start making the hot dog. So my friend was like, no, let me do it. We're like, okay, so this whole group of teenagers are like huddled around watching this kid go up to the hot dog cart, and he gives us the hand, like, I got this. And he walks up to the guy and goes, I'll have the original, please. And we're all like, no, you ruined it. It was the worst. And the last one is t-shirts or sweaters.
I'm wearing a sweater right now, so I'll say sweater.
I understand. More sleeve coverage. I got it. So this has been that Kevin's Corner.
Yay!
You did it.
So you said you're from San Francisco, but you did you grow? What was your first time out here? Do you remember your first Broadway show?
My grandparents live on Long Island, which mm-hmm. are my mother's parents. So we grew up coming here almost every year, which was very, very lucky. And nice. Anytime we would go out, we'd go see a Broadway show. And for many, many years, that one Broadway show would be Beauty and the Beast because there were no other children's shows for a long time on Broadway. And that was
all the bells.
Oh, I've seen Susan Egan. I've seen Ashley Brown. I've seen them all.
There's an I Can Hear the Bells joke in there somewhere.
I was like, is this a segue to Hunchback of Notre Dame? No, we saw Beauty and the Beast my first time, and then my mom took me to Cats, and I freaked out when the cats came in the audience in the mm-hmm. beginning.
Sure.
I was not
sure.
into that. And then we saw Phantom of the Opera, and the night before, I don't know why she did this, she played me the old, early 1900s black and white silent film of Phantom of the Opera, that in which when the chandelier is cut, he goes up to the ceiling, cuts it, and it falls on the audience. It doesn't swing onto the stage. And so when we went, we happened to be sitting directly underneath the chandelier.
No.
And I was pants going, we're gonna die. I was very restless and very unhappy to be there. So we kept going back to Beauty and the Beast.
That's
amazing.
I imagine that would be terrifying. If you're like, this goes.
And then you realize, oh, the chandelier just moves so slowly that you're going, oh, it's going to be fine.
Phantom was the last show that Brian and I saw before Broadway closed.
Oh, my God.
Our friend was Christine. And we were like, oh, let's go see Phantom. And it was like half empty. And we were like, oh, I guess this virus must be a thing. Like, people don't want to be near each other.
That show got hit early.
We share the alleyway with the Majestic and Golden. So yeah. I've seen a bunch of them coming in and out of the...
Oh, wait. Store. When we are up talking to Megan after the show, do you remember Company comes down a little later than Phantom? And she was like, oh, Company just finished. You can hear their standing ovation.
Well, take it. My favorite Phantom story is in the Jacobs, where the Company is, I got very lucky and got invited to the opening of Iceman Cometh with Denzel Washington.
Mm.
And it started because it's a 3-4 hour epic. It began at 4:00 in the afternoon. And right at the end, Denzel just takes a chair and does the very famous Hickey monologue, sort of direct address to the audience. And you can hear a pin drop. He's giving an extraordinary performance. And then all of a sudden, I hear, bum, 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 bum. Because it's timed out perfectly with 7 o'clock with the Majestic that is next door. And the Orbiter started reverberating through the walls of the Jacobs. And it would never happen any other time because they would time it differently. And I couldn't believe it.
That's like when you're in a movie theater and you're like watching like Little Women and like you can hear Star Wars next door.
That's right. Yeah. It's like... something's not conjoined.
Yeah. Oh, that's my so goodness. Funny. That is the magic of the theater.
It was during that monologue that started?
That's right. It was at the very, very end of the play because it aligned right with 7:05 or whatever.
That's so good.
Which was the beginning. Yeah.
So we,
that's so good.
We do a little segment here called Stage Door Stories. Do you have a story where you went to the stage door or somebody came to the stage door at a Bronx Sailor company that kind of you remember as being funny or really heartwarming or special? Just a generic kind of stage door story.
I told Patty this the other day when we were doing our weekly Zoom call when I was, I forget which birthday it was, and I won't give the year out because Patty is still a very beautiful, vibrant woman. I went to Gypsy for my birthday and I went at the stage door and I told her it was my birthday and she gave me a hug and then got in her car and drove away and I held on to that. And then I went, oh, now I'm in a show with Patty LuPone.
And that's so crazy. That.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah. That's like, full crazy circle.
And now she has to have you on your birthday every year.
Except this year.
Except now.
Yeah, I'm not going to be back. Yeah.
Let's play another game.
Yeah. Sure.
Do it.
I thought we could play a quick round of Dirty Hands on a Hard Body.
Okay.
Great.
Which these two gentlemen know, but Bobby, I'll explain to you. It's a categories game, basically. There's usually a beat that goes to it, but on Zoom, there's a lag. So just... try and be clippy about it. So,
okay.
Let me put you guys in gallery mode so I know what order we're all in.
Sure.
I'll pick a category and then we'll sort of go around. Everyone in a rapid fire says something from that category. If you repeat something someone already said or if you stutter at all, then you are out. That's one hand up. If you get two dirty hands, you're out of the game and we play till someone wins.
Great. All right.
I think everyone's in a different order on each screen.
Correct.
So in my order, it would go Brian, me, Bobby, Kevin.
Okay.
Does that make sense to everyone?
The point I go after, we should just know who we go after.
Yes, yeah. You go after me, I go after Brian.
And I'm after Bobby.
Got it.
Great. Right. Okay. First category, Broadway theaters.
Sure.
And I'll start with the Jacobs. Ha.
you're starting with Jacobs?
Yeah.
Okay. Golden.
Majestic.
Winter Garden.
Marquee.
Sondheim.
New Amsterdam.
Schoenfeld.
Hirschfeld.
Longacre.
Studio 54.
Walter Kerr.
Minskoff.
LaFontaine.
Ooh, good one.
Vivian Beaumont.
Mm-hmm.
Is that considered broad? Yeah,
yeah.
It does not.
Yeah, we'll give it. Okay.
They're eligible
we'll
for
it.
Tonys.
Okay, fair, right. fair. I just had it. The did we say Longacre?
Three. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot the one that I had.
No, too late. Hand
yeah,
up.
Yeah, it's too late. All right.
All right, and now you pick a category.
Sure.
Wait,
now I can't remember what my I'm mad that I can't remember what I was going to say. I'm sure I'll say it during the
You should have said American Airlines.
That was what it was. It was American Airlines. That's what it was. That's exactly what it was.
Damn. It's a sweet name.
Musicals with a character's name in it. Titles.
Title.
Musical titles with a character's name in it. I'll go first. So an example of that is Tommy.
Okay.
Gypsy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It just left my head. Well, I'll take a hand. I don't know what I was about to say.
The only other thing I could think of was Caroline or Change.
Really? I was like, I had Annie, Oliver, and Change.
Oliver was one of them. They were just immense. And then they all just
Sweeney, Hamilton. Like
they're infinite.
Lloyd Collins.
I don't know why I was going to say Chaplin. That was the one that was.
Oh, that's a good one.
I couldn't
that
remember.
Works. Okay, now you get to pick a category.
I've never gotten this far with no hands up, and I'm really excited.
without being too egotistical, musical theater, whether it could be a composer, it could be a writer, it could be an actor with three names.
Okay.
I'll start with David Hyde Pierce.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Robert Sean Leonard.
Bobby Conti Thornton.
Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Dame Judi Dench.
I'm not sure.
That's gotta
people
be close.
Call her Dame for sports. So that's like a name.
I'm
no, it doesn't count. But I was gonna say
John Cameron Mitchell. There's so many.
Jason Robert Brown.
All I could think was Jennifer Love Hewitt. I'm not even kidding.
I don't think she's been on Broadway.
Barrett Wilbert Wheat. There was another one.
That's right. That's right.
All right, Kevin, you pick a category.
I failed that category. I'm sorry.
Two hands.
Okay. This category is musical theater villains.
Great.
Okay.
Musical theater only.
Musical theater only, yes. Musical theater villains, and I'll say, I'll start with Judge Turpin.
Okay.
Nice.
Ursula.
Jigger.
Wait, you skipped me.
Oh, sorry.
Ursula.
Shut up. Burr.
Okay.
Jigger.
Scar.
Gaston.
Oh, good. No. I don't like the mean ones.
Oh,
I don't know their names.
Wow.
Oh, but I pick a category.
Yes.
Oh, we all have one hand up.
You do.
Oh, this is the elimination station.
There we go.
What could it be?
Don't do me dirty, Kimberly.
Don't do me dirty hands.
Disney musicals. Like Disney theatricals.
Oh, God.
Okay.
The Lion King.
Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Newsies.
Tarzan.
Beauty and the Beast.
Mary Poppins.
Hercules.
Frozen.
Good one. The Little Mermaid.
Freaky Friday.
Yeah. Finding Nemo.
Good one. Did we say Aladdin?
No!
No, I don't think so. Well done.
Oh no. Why was I just about to say Aladdin again? It came to me. I was like, oh, Aladdin.
I think that's you, Kimberly.
I think I'm out.
Okay, so what's
well
our
done.
Category?
Musical theater heroes instead of villains.
Sure. Okay. Bobby,
so
do you
begins?
Want to start? You
Me?
Want to start, Bobby? Yeah.
Hamilton. Alexander Hamilton.
Horton.
Usnavi.
Sweeney Todd is a hero, I'm calling.
Sure.
Sure.
Bobby Strong.
Elder Price.
George Surratt.
Don Quixote.
Tracy Turnblad.
Fosca.
Oh, yes. Elle Woods.
Is it my turn? Simba.
Louise in Gypsy is the hero.
Seeley.
Joseph.
The Phantom.
Spider-Man.
Oh, Jesus.
Fine, Superman.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's a bird. That is, it's a plane. Is. Yeah.
I'm going to say Hermes.
Oh, yeah.
Is Hermes not the hero of that show?
I mean, I would have said Orpheus.
But Orpheus is such a, he's such a lame-o. He's the villain. He puts her back in hell. He's the villain.
Yeah, he just
crazy. Okay, you know what? I'm okay with that. That description works for me.
Hermes is the one that keeps telling the story over and over again.
You know what? I'm going to
trying his best.
Oliver?
Sure. Peter Pan.
Donnie Nowitzki.
Crutchy. I'll take a hand for that. He's a supporting player.
Oh, no. Okay, but
he's a hero. Crutchy's a hero.
Literally, the only music name I could remember, I could think was Jeremy Jordan or Crutchy.
That's right.
Fair.
Okay, right. The final category for you two. The showdowns of the bees is Broadway actors whose first name begins with the letter B.
Oh boy. Okay.
Okay.
Who begins?
I'm going to go. You can start. You can start.
Brian Stokes Mitchell.
Barbara Cook.
Brandon Victor Dixon.
You.
Oh. I'm sorry, I need the full name, please.
Bobby C. Thornton.
Got it.
Brian Darcy James.
Barbara Streisand.
Absolutely.
Brandon Uranowitz.
Love.
I'm about to get very upset with Kevin. Bette Midler. I'll tell you why in a second.
Ben Platt.
Ooh. I mean, why?
We just said her name.
Five.
Betty four. Buckley. We didn't say her name. Oh, Betty Buckley.
When did we talk about Betty Buckley?
We didn't.
That was a double B.
Barry Bostwick.
Yeah.
Nice. Barrett Wilbert Wee.
There it is. Yeah.
I don't know if this is Broadway. Bryn Terfel. Oh, Bryn O'Malley. Bryn O'Malley. Oh, there's another Bryn.
That's a good one.
Five, four, three, two.
I'm mad at Kevin because all I can think of is Can't Hardly Wait and Breckenmeyer.
Yeah. Because I put Jennifer Love Hewitt in your head. Yeah. So that means Bobby wins the game.
Yeah. Woo.
Oh my God! Well, I don't know. I made some iffy answers throughout the games, but
you didn't get called on it, and that's all that matters.
Exactly.
Well, that brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it, especially taking the time.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Kimberly.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
We're hoping at some point that we'll be able to see the company that so many people have already seen, including Kimberly.
It's so good.
I know. She like told us we were so excited to go. And then anyway,
I almost bought myself a second ticket to go back and see it with you guys. Yeah. Not myself. I didn't
Please.
Buy
it.
Well, as soon as we're allowed back to do that, we will be in those seats watching you all. You know, thanks again for taking the time. Again, the album is Along the Way, spelled W-A-Y.
so ridiculous.
And you can find that wherever you can find music. So definitely check that out. I've listened to it. It's spectacular. He's as we talked about, it's really well curated. It's telling a narrative and it sounds great. So, you know, it kind of hits all those
Thank you, man. Pillars. Thank
yeah.
You.
Again, what if I drop him? What if things don't turn out okay? What if I forget to feed him? What if I start to need him? And if he goes away, what if I make just one mistake somewhere along the way?
Wow.
That is our quote for the episode. Thank you again. You can follow us at Broadwasted on Twitter and Instagram. You can find us on things like Patreon. You can find us on things like Facebook and our group that Kevin runs there. You can find us
right now. We're watching two cool shows. We've been doing some fun things where we like pick a show to binge or we just like chat about random stuff. So like check us out there.
And then, of course, you can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, and iTunes. Rate and review us there. 5 stars, please.
Thank you.
But again, Bobby, thank you so much for joining us. We're really thank looking you, Brian. Forward to, you know, potentially seeing company. We look forward to kind of whatever content you can provide us with.
So get on it.
Yeah. But thank you so much. And as we end every episode, we raise our glasses and we say, oh, how good would a Muppets Those Magic Changes be? Who's Duty? Who sings Those Magic Changes? Who's the Duty?
A chicken.
Yes, the chicken is Duty. I love it.
I love the delay. I love the delay.
Yeah, that's great.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.